This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Tuning into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Johnson. AfterBuzz
TV, the destination for TV superfans. Producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows. Interviewing celebrities and showrunners. And bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
I like this song.
It was a good find.
I know, it's kind of good.
It's got a good beat to it.
I love it.
Hello, AfterBuzz TV, the Guardians of the Galaxy fans, and welcome to the Guardians of the Galaxy After Show, Season 1, Episode 7, The Backstabbers. Fun fact, the song that's playing right now is called Backstabbers.
I'm waiting for her to do that all
1972,
night.
1972, by a band called the OJs. It is a studio album. It's by a Philadelphia soul group called the OJs.
Really?
Released in August of 1972 on Philadelphia International Records.
Look at you with all these, dropping some knowledge, guys.
Exactly. The truth of the matter is, Guardians of the Galaxy, for the first few episodes, had a great jam associated with every episode, you know, primarily from the 1970s as the music is in the film version.
Right.
But they kind of dropped that a couple episodes ago.
But now we are dropping some pretty awesome music
Exactly. So I just Googled Backstabber song, and that was the first thing that came up. I was like, yes, that's 1972.
That's not what I was thinking.
Nope,
hey, guys, welcome.
I know. You would like to think I had sweet music knowledge, but alas, I do not.
Oh, dang it.
If you guys have not done so already, please be sure to head over to iTunes, subscribe to us in the iTunes store, leave us reviews. We love hearing from you guys. Conversely, if you guys are listening on iTunes, you can always also head over to YouTube. For those of you that are on YouTube right now, we are following along with the live chat, and we're also following along on Twitter using that hashtag ABTVGOTG.
I was like, I was going to mess that up, so I'm really glad that you didn't ask me to do that.
Yep, you got it. I'm here for you. Okay. I am Emma Fife. You can follow me all over the internet at Emma Fife, and I am joined by the wonderful, fabulous, beautiful, and talented Alexis Torres.
What is happening? Hi, everybody, as I blush over here. You can find me all over social media as atorres890, and also raving about this episode. Whoa.
I know.
Favorite so far.
Right?
Completely, so far.
Completely agree with you, because I think that this episode had a lot of the same things that were good about the first two episodes,
yes.
Which was very much keeping in line with the spirit of and tone of the film Guardians of the Galaxy. However, this one didn't suffer from the same pacing issues.
No, it got to the point where even I was like, oh, I did not see that coming.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about TV shows that can do that to me, because I'm like, oh, ripped out my heart.
Yeah.
How dare you, Gamora.
Exactly. And in this episode, too, I felt like it was the first episode in a while that I've watched and I haven't gone, oh, it's already over, in a bad way. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, in a good way, I felt like this episode was long.
No,
like,
I completely agree.
Like, it had
with
longer
you.
Scenes,
mm-hmm.
and there were storylines that were easy to follow.
And the dialogue was really, like, there was a lot of meat in the dialogue.
Yeah,
so it
exactly.
It wasn't just, like, a bunch of random silence or just I Am Groot just talking for, like, a little bit.
Right, exactly.
Like,
yeah, totally. And the other thing that I liked was, you know, at the conclusion of this episode, how they're all like, well, first of all, they set up great parameters, which we'll talk about in a little bit.
Yeah.
For how the future of this series is going to go. And it also ended with Quill being like, hey, guys, if we all work together as a team, we can do anything.
And I was just like, yeah, okay.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
But, hey, at least the sentiment was there.
Hey, I was just with Rocket. I was just like, we're all hosts. Sorry, guys.
So, yes, the basic plot of this episode, it opened up with Rocket spying on the Nova Corps headquarters. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about how, you know, Ronan the Destroyer is gone, so Thanos is now without a general. However, he's looking for a new one. It could be any of these three people.
I love how this the Nova Corps just has a great, I don't know, I don't really know if you call it like a TV, like, thing. It's just like, and now we're looking for three new things.
So true. Like, no, it did. It did feel a little
bit like game
Nova
showing.
Nova Corps TV.
Yeah, and I was just like, what?
Here's your weekly update on what's going on in the far reaches of the galaxy. Yeah, like that, that's totally what
I was
it
like,
felt
it's
like.
Kind of game showy. And I was like, all right, I do a dollar? And I don't know. it was weird.
No, it totally was. But it was convenient because we got to learn a lot about what was going on in that time.
That exposition was exposition.
It was, but I thought it was a fun way of getting that exposition in there.
It was new. I liked it.
And setting up this episode rather than the characters on board the Milano just having a conversation about, like, what's going on this week. You know what I mean?
I completely agree with you.
So, yeah, basically we find out, obviously, you know, Ronan the Destroyer is dead, and so Thanos is looking for a new general, and the top choices are, of course, Korath, Nebula, and Gamora?
I was just like, maybe they got that wrong.
Yeah. So then that leads everybody to start accusing Gamora of backstabbing them.
I'm sorry, if you didn't see that coming, you are blind. Because I was just like, yeah, okay, so this is where the crew trouble starts. But I was not expecting the actual full plan that was happening. Mm-hmm. And I did like that Quill was on, like, he was like, no, this is obviously, there's something wrong with Nova Corps. Like, this is not.
Right.
It's just a thing.
No, I totally agree with you. I really liked the fact that Quill was so adamant throughout the episode that Gamora had not betrayed them.
Exactly.
Which, of course, he ultimately was right. But it was really nice to see him putting faith in somebody.
No, I completely agree. And I also like that they toyed with your thinking of, like, maybe she is.
Yeah.
No, maybe she isn't. Wait, no, maybe she is. Oh, I'm so confused.
No, I totally agree. Because this series, it doesn't often take you by surprise.
Yep. It's been pretty predictable since day one.
And that... I definitely had a moment of being like, is she betraying me?
No, I literally sat there and I was just like, I don't even know anymore.
Yeah.
Now. It's hard for me to keep up, but I also liked who does keep secrets.
Yeah.
Which I should have saw coming, but I found that very interesting. But I also liked that Drax couldn't just keep it together with the universal weapon. I was just buddy, you're going to shoot us out of the sky.
Yeah, the comedy with Drax and the universal weapon in this episode was pretty good. Yeah, it was pretty good.
I think Drax is slow. I mean, Drax has always kind of been my favorite character just because he just doesn't understand anything.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I also like that we really showed people smarts in this episode.
I agree. I think that Drax's, you know, character quirk of not understanding sarcasm or metaphors or any sort of colloquialisms lends itself really well to this. It translates better into this series than a lot of the other characters'
quirks. I agree
with
you. Yeah.
I think that they're struggling more with, like, Gamora because they're making her not quite as sort of stoic. I'm having a hard time explaining how Gamora in the series is different from Gamora in the film.
Yeah, because at least with Gamora, like, I guess when I see Zoe Saldana, I see someone who's just, like, this really strong character who's there to kick butt, but also, like, you feel her pain of dealing with the fact of being...
Yes, that's what it is. Yeah. I think that's what it is that Gamora in the series lacks that depth, even though we know that she's been through all the same experiences. Mm-hmm.
And we got a lot of it in this episode, too.
Absolutely, And this was a really nice episode to see some character growth from her. But I do agree with you that overall, it's like, I like that they make her a little more sort of sarcastic. Like, she gets humor a little more in the show than she
and
does in
she
the movie.
And then she even gives some humor a lot more in the movie than she does in the show.
Yeah, yeah. She does provide a certain amount of humor in the show. But again, it's that it's the series for the most part until this episode and in the Space Vegas episode in the scene with Drax and Gamora.
Right.
The series is kind of shying away from the feelings.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was nice to see them not do that in this episode.
There you go. Okay, I was like, I don't know how to explain it, but you hit it right on the nose.
Yeah.
But I also like that they don't, like, I got distracted. The one-note character is like a dead horse right now. That's what I like.
Yeah,
I mean, we knew that Drax doesn't understand metaphors, but it wasn't extremely repetitive in this one. We didn't have Gamora just being like, Quill this and Quill that, and he can't do this. Like, even though, she said a lot of things that were wrong with Quill.
Right.
It was relevant to what was happening.
I agree. It was totally relevant to what was happening. It wasn't just like, let's beat up on Quill.
Yeah, and also the fact that Quill really messed up a lot in this episode one. But two, the one thing that I wanted, even though I could tell that this was going to be a Gamora-heavy episode, I did want more something else with Gamora. Not just like, oh, is she going to betray them? Is she not? I don't know. I would have liked something more heavy between her and Quill. But it was okay. Like, I still liked the episode. I just kind of, when I noticed that it was going to be a Gamora-heavy episode, I don't know how you felt about it, but I wanted more of an extra connection between her and Quill.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not sure, because I kind of go back and forth on this, because in the movie, there was a little bit of an implied romance between them.
Yeah, I think that was just Quill trying to use his, you know, like, hey, I'm charming. And
right.
I'm like,
and I don't, and I'm like, and I go back and forth on whether or not I want to see that.
True.
On the show. But I agree with you that I would like to see
just a friendship.
Just a little more with the friendship. But they definitely danced line.
They did.
In this episode.
And which I liked.
With them having an open, communicative kind of friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Not only with all of the scenes with Quill and Gamora actually down on the planet, the name of which I wrote down. It was, hold on. Sarawat, that's what
there it is. Yeah, I love that. I was like, oh.
Sarawat.
All right.
Where they crash landed the ship, and then ultimately, you know, when they were both on Nebula's ship as well. But also at the end of the episode, when, because, you know, a big theme in this episode is, oh, Quill can't keep any secrets.
And he can't.
And in the end, he's like, hey, Gamora, I can keep your secret. I'm not going to tell them that you told Nebula about the crypto cube.
Right.
And it was nice to have a moment where Gamora's like, you know what? Actually, your crazy honesty isn't a bad thing. And because I've been keeping secrets, it's caused a lot of trouble. And I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to be open and honest with, you know, the team that I'm working with here.
Exactly, which I liked. It was such a good song and dance this episode. Yeah. I really liked that.
Yeah, there was. There was a good balance of that kind of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And also setting up some really interesting plot points.
Like, there was just a lot where I was just like, I cannot leave my screen right now. I need to pay attention, because if I miss something, it's going to be real bad.
yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I liked the space battle they had with the alien Cthulhu creature.
I was like, why is Cthulhu just hanging around in the universe? Just like, I'm angry. I'm going to absorb everything in the universe. I was just like, all right.
Yeah.
I also like that Drax only sulks as a grown man.
I know. That was great.
I was like,
it's like, stop sulking like a baby. I am sulking like a grown man.
And I was like, I'm sorry. I totally understand and I apologize. But no, yeah, I was very confused with Cthulhu just hanging out.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like maybe if I were deeper into the Guardians of the Galaxy comics, so if you're in the chat or you're using the hashtag, like, let us know if that's established
a thing
because as an outsider, all I see is Cthulhu.
No, like, seriously, I was just like, so we're doing like a pirate theme where there's a ship, giant squid comes in, tries to eat them, but distracts, like, I don't know, it was weird. But
yeah,
I was trying to figure it out because they're like, oh, guns aren't working, and even the universal weapon wasn't working,
right.
And I was like, so how are we supposed to defeat this, what? Like,
yeah.
Cthulhu is not indestructible, I feel like we could figure it out.
Yeah.
And so I found it very interesting that they used these pods that Rocket obviously made,
yes.
And went in, and then he was like, is this thing like an amoeba? And I love how, like, she had to explain what an amoeba was.
A single-celled organism.
Yeah, and I was just like, wow, this is kids. You better be paying attention.
Yep.
He shot the nuclear...
I didn't even think about that. I thought of that as being a commentary on Rocket not being very smart, but you're right, it was definitely aimed at, like, here's a chance for kids to learn what an amoeba is.
That's why I was sitting there going, like, okay, kids, that was a science tip for the day.
That was
Gamora, your traitor.
Lesson.
Yeah, I was like, there is your science lesson with the Gamora and the traitor. I was just, like, really confused. I was just like, okay, cool.
Yes.
But, yeah, I found that very interesting that they were able to just kind of throw that in there, and then I was not expecting Gamora to just be gone when they got back out. That threw me off. I was like, wait, I didn't even notice that the ship was not there.
Well, I think that was a smart move on their part, because that, once again, goes with the, oh, did she betray them for real? Because she just kind of left them hanging in space in the pods.
Which I'm like, okay, yeah, that's not a good sign.
Yeah.
Let's not do that.
Yeah.
So yeah. It was weird.
Yeah. I also love that when they were, when they discovered that she was gone and Rocket revealed that he had put trackers on everything.
The raccoon stickers. I was just like, okay. Just like, I love how Groot was just like, so I was hoping that Quill was going to be like, oh, so that's that weird fungus that's growing on, Groot's backside, but I'm assuming that's not what they were referring
to. No, I
to.
Don't know. I don't
but
think so.
It was so weird because I'm thinking, when did he have the time to stick these stickers on all of the stuff?
And I also was like, those are some pretty, number one, advanced stickers, but number two, those are not very subtle trackers.
No, like I was sitting there going, why is there a raccoon sticker on my weapon?
Yeah,
like,
I was going to say, how come nobody noticed these raccoon stickers?
Okay, thank you. Because I was sitting there going, so these stickers have been here the whole time. I don't know when he decided to do this. And also, no, nobody was just like, oh, Rocket's just making stickers. How cute. What? I would think at least Drax would be like, why are you putting this sticky substance with a picture of your face on my stuff?
Right.
Like,
yeah, no, totally.
Nothing? Okay.
Well, I mean, because they were very blatantly stickers. Like,
that their eyes glowed. That was about it. Yeah. And I was just like, okay. All right, Rocket, you do think of everything. Look at you.
Yeah. I also liked the, and once again, you know, the in the scene right after this, when they find out, you know, that Gamora has left them, and they're talking about the nature of why she did or did not. I really liked that Quill was like, no, I'm sure she was kidnapped or forced to betray us against her will. And Drax was like, that is the stupidest thing I have ever heard.
And I was just like, wow. And then I love that Rocket was just like, if Drax has the smartest, like,
Is the smartest one here,
then it must be something really important. I was just like, yeah, because I didn't think about that. I'm like, if Drax is that stupid, I think we're in a little bit of
heat.
Yeah,
I think we can all agree that it's stupid.
I'm like, sorry, Quill. I think you messed that one up just a little bit.
Yeah,
but no, I agree that I felt that the fact that he came up with these things, I was like, this doesn't seem like a Gamora thing to do, where she would be forced against her will to take the ship.
Yeah, no,
like,
totally.
That doesn't seem like her. I feel like she would rather try to fight to get to keep them off the ship than just be like, okay, yeah, sure.
Okay,
I'll just
peace
land
out
over here.
The ship. Yeah, you're right.
Bye.
Yeah. I agree. I think that was why it sort of threw me for a loop, and I had a moment of being like, wait. She couldn't have possibly actually betrayed them.
Yeah, and I would have been like, okay. Yeah. Well, this show took a giant turn that escalated very quickly. Yeah.
Which, of course, she didn't actually, because, you know, Quill
goes... But it was really close.
It was, yeah.
Really close.
Well, and Quill goes to find her, and she's arranged to rendezvous with Nebula.
Okay. I have questions.
Yeah, okay.
So if she knew that she asked Nebula to be there, but she was still passed out... like, did she actually hurt herself when she crashed?
No. It was all part of her plan.
Okay, so
because she showed up, because, you know, we find out later that the whole time Gamora was in cahoots with Groot.
I know. That's why I thought it was so funny that Groot is the one. I mean, it makes sense why Groot was the one, because no one can understand it but Rocket. But right. At the same time, I'm like, how did she do that and know that he complied?
Yeah.
It would just be like, okay, so I hope you're okay with this. You think this plan's good?
I am Groot. Okay, great.
Okay, I'm going to assume that means yes. I'm going to go now. You listen to me, okay? Cool. And just leave.
Yeah.
It was so weird to me. But, I mean, he was down.
Yeah.
He was a ride-or-die tree. So,
totally.
You know, whatever.
Yeah. Hey, man. It was...
Annie
had a weird tattoo on his butt now, too, basically. So,
right? I was just like, okay, well...
That sticker was in an interesting place.
I was just like, why, Rocket? Yep. I know that you can't reach anywhere, but a leg would have been okay. Maybe a calf.
Yeah.
You know, maybe like...
Maybe the foot.
Yeah. Or even if you want to climb up there, maybe while he's sleeping or something, just slap it on his shoulder.
Yep.
But like, right on the butt,
though? Right on the butt.
God, that's weird to me. But anyway.
Anyway. So when Gamora went down to the planet to rendezvous with Nebula, she intentionally threw herself on the ground.
Okay.
Because she had left the crypto cube with Groot.
Okay.
And she was trying to make it seem like she had been attacked by Korath. And he took the cube before Nebula got there.
Okay, that's what it was. Because I was like, why would she crash land her... What? I was, like, really confused. But that makes sense of how that would work. And, of course, Quill just ruining everything.
Yeah,
I literally
put,
Quill, the ruiner of plans.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what it was. And I love, too, when he, like, caught on... When he actually rightfully caught on to the fact that she was deceiving Nebula. And he's like, oh, this is your plan, huh? Great plan.
You guys, iTunes listeners, if you could see my face right now, I literally sat there every time when Quill was starting to fight. Because again, this is what I was saying about people being very smart in this episode. Right. I was like, Quill is smart. He has just terrible timing when he figures out what the plan is.
Well, this is the thing: is he's smart in that. Like, in his brain, he's smart and he figures stuff out. But he's not very smart in that he just runs his mouth. He just says exactly what he's thinking.
And I'm like, that's fine when you're in a confined space, you know, with the rest of your crew, not wandering around when you're supposed to be quiet in the enemy's territory.
Exactly. It's like, you figured out the plan in front of the enemy. Maybe don't tell the enemy that you know what the plan is.
Or the fact of just spouting it out at the top of your lungs. Like, I think now we can totally betray Nebula.
Yeah.
Oh, hi, Nebula. Like, no, get out of here.
No. And it's not even like Nebula walked in. She was there the entire time.
She was just standing there. Like, oh, okay, I hear some person just blabbing their mouth. I'm going to stand here and wait till they show up. Oh, there they are.
Yeah. It was great to see Nebula into this episode.
I was so glad. As soon as she jumped off that ship, I was like, this episode's going to be good.
Well, and it just added an interesting dynamic, I thought, to have, another girl.
Well, yeah. I'm always down for badass... chicks.
Yeah, totally.
Straight up, just those three things.
Yep. And the thing, too, is that, you know, you're adding this character with whom Gamora has such a history, and so that just adds another level of depth to her.
Yep.
And I liked that even though ultimately Gamora was against both Nebula and Korath and she was trying to get them to fight each other.
Which is a smart idea.
Very, very smart idea. Mm-hmm. At the same time, Korath was like, no, you sisters are always beating up on me, because he thought that Gamora had sided with Nebula and the two of them were teaming up against him.
The one thing that I love, love, love about this episode is that... As a person who has siblings, it really showed sibling rivalry. It's obviously added a little bit more edge to it because they're trying to blow each other up.
Yeah, there is that.
But I really loved that they really showed how, like, brothers and sisters work. Like,
yes.
You girls are always pitting against me. Like, in my brain, it was just seeing, like, a little boy playing with, like, his toys and, like, the girl's just, like, kicking it or something. And he's like, you guys are always so mean to me.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
no,
oh, man, your childhood must have sucked.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that sibling dynamic.
It was
great. And that depth of understanding that Gamora has about the two of them, that she knows that she can get them to fight each
other.
Also,
you can tell who's the smarter sibling out of the three.
This is true.
But the other thing that, like, besides that, and plus the other one of, like, I'm gonna blow up your ship. It's like, not if I blow up your ship first. I was like, yeah, that's definitely brother-sister fighting.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just like, I'm gonna tell Mom, not if I tell her first. Yep. So, that was really cool.
Yeah.
I really liked that.
I liked when they were on the ship and they had that revelation too that Gamora had been playing both of them.
I was just like, wow.
When Korath hails Nebula's ship and is like, I'm gonna blow you up, and she's like, whatever. Also, I think Gamora was maybe playing both of us. Gamora?
That was so funny. I wouldn't think Gamora? Where'd you go?
She just slinks away into the shadow.
It was so ridiculous. She's just like, like, really? No one's gonna notice that she just, like, slowly backed up.
I was gonna say, if you're listening on iTunes, you need to go over to YouTube just for that moment of Alexis pushing herself away from the table, and we sit in rolling chairs.
Oh my god,
that's pretty
if someone
magical.
Can make a GIF but, like, make shadows, I'd be the happiest person in the world. Internet, get on it.
Yes,
but no, I thought it was really funny how there was just, like, really subtle hints of just, like, if you could see these three as children, you can just imagine who was doing what.
Oh yeah. And them
things.
Interacting like this their entire lives. I mean, that's
crazy.
That's something I thought that this episode executed extremely well, which, you know, you touched on a little bit, Alexis, is that you really felt like these three characters had a history.
Just that childhood is all. Yep. I'm just like, no.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so I also, when they were on, when Quill was taken captive on Nebula's ship, and Gamora shows up to set him free, and she's like, of course he's gone.
No, that was the first thing. I was like, wait, is she running to go find Quill? Is that what was happening? Because I didn't know.
Yeah.
And then she opens up the cell door, and she's like, of course he's gone. And I was like, yeah, you know what? I don't know what I was expecting.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense. I would be in the same boat.
But she kicked so much butt on her way to go free him, by the way.
She was like, I'm on a mission. I'm here to kick some... Quill's not here.
Yep.
Well, crap. And like, yeah. And the fact that he's sitting there just like, Gamora. And I thought, like, he was going to actually, like, try to, like, not take her down, but...
Right, fight her, because, you know, we had maybe thought that she had betrayed them, and, you know, previously she'd punched him in the stomach, which I always love a good, like, stomach punch.
Oh, yeah, that was really good.
To knock someone out.
Also, Foley guys, that hit, it sounded like there was some depth.
Something we see in anime a lot, like, characters get punched in the stomach and pass out.
To tell
them
to shut up, I love that. It was so weird how, like... He, like, passed out because it was, like, a weird bubble, like...
Yeah, it was as if you were seeing him passing out from his perspective.
But it was of his... It was so
weird. Right, it was
weird.
Very strange.
I was just like, I'm so confused with the direction of this clip right now, but sure. But, no, I really liked that. I loved that... This is where Quill's like, oh, man, I'm figuring everything out. And literally mine's expletive, Quill, you ruined everything. When obviously that he figures out what the plan is. And then Nebula's just like, hey... I'm here. I heard everything. You're going to die now.
That actually was so great when they were having that bonding moment of him being like, no, you're our friend. We trust you. I knew you didn't betray us. It's all good. I totally am onto your plan. This is great. Also, it's a good thing they don't know that the ship is crash landed on Sarawak right now.
I was just like,
hey, Nebula, you didn't hear that, did you?
Of course not. I just blab and everything. And I was just like, please stop.
Ask Gamora.
And I was just like, this is what I was doing. iTunes listeners, if you could see, I'm holding a shovel.
An invisible imaginary shovel.
And just digging a hole. That's every time when Quill talks, I feel like he's just digging a larger grave for himself. And I'm like, just jump in, buddy.
You can't. There's no coming back from this. which ultimately leads to them, you know, contacting the ship, being like, hey, we gotta get out of here, guys. We need help. And they're like, cool, we're crash landed and all the fuel gauges are completely empty, so.
I love that Rocket was just like, hey, we're going through our own things, but thanks, you know, Trader, for hanging out. Like, and I was just like, oh gosh, this could end really badly.
It could.
But it didn't.
It didn't, because Drax is, he's having a time.
He's so
with
angry.
That universal weapon right now.
Yeah, I love how he was just like, I don't care what it does, I'm just gonna hit things with it. And I was like, okay, that's very Drax of you.
Yeah.
But at the same time, my initial scare was when he took the hammer and just threw it into the fuel gauge, because I was like, we don't know what this thing can actually do. I mean, we know that it can destroy things, but we also don't know, you know, what if it destroyed the ship? You're gonna take that risk with everybody on it?
Yeah.
Like, come on, buddy. But, I mean, at the
he took the risk. Well, because in the beginning of the episode, they had said something about, you know, the power struggle amongst Thanos' group creating this universal vacuum, which Drax thought was an actual object, not a turn of phrase, which it's definitely the ladder, so not a weapon, it's not an object. And he was like, give me this.
Oh, he was so angry. He was like, water, or like, even with water under the bridge. Water under the bridge? Where is this bridge? Is Thanos there?
Yes,
I was like,
exactly. Yeah, well, because he was going to use the power, the vacuum of power vacuum, to like clean up the universe. I was like, no, it's not. It's not that kind of vacuum.
I was just like, how do you not know this? Drax was just really on point, wanted to cry.
And what he says was when he hammers the, you know, the like fuel
gauge I guess, or whatever
containers, whatever they are with the universal weapon, he says, I do not know if this will work as well as a power vacuum, but we shall see.
I was just like, please don't. Okay. Please don't do that. What if we die? Yeah. I don't know.
Well, and it works great. But a little too great.
Yeah, and then they're just literally soaring through the air, and Gamora's just like, I don't know how to get to you.
Yeah, because Gamora and Quill escape in the pod that she had gotten to Nebula's ship on them in the first place.
Yep.
But yeah, so they're all just kind of flying through space, and they're all caught up in the crossfire between
that was crazy
between Nebula and Korath, which Gamora successfully orchestrated. However, she found herself in the middle of it.
Yeah, it was very interesting how the fact that when she launched the missiles to hit Korath's ship, and then Korath's face pops up, and I'm like, do you not see them? I'm really confused.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Quill made it very Quill-like to be like, oh, man, I'm so glad that you did that so that they know that, you know, we work together and we made all this work. And, of course, he's like, I knew it. And our favorite line of, like, you girls are always plotting against
me.
And then all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay.
Definitely.
But I love it because I would have been like, great.
Mm-hmm.
Now what?
Yep.
And that's what happened. But I love how... I can't remember what happens after that. I don't remember what was, like, right before when Drax started to throw the hammer
well,
out.
Drax threw the hammer, which kind of put a stop to Nebula's ship because she ended up with the universal weapon on board her.
I was just like, why did you throw
ship?
It?
Why? Because that was his way of kind of deflecting the bullets and get it. Because they were literally caught in the crossfire of this. And you know, Gamora and Quill managed to get the pod onto the Milano. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Drax is still out there fighting with Korath and Nebula. And then he just has to go because it's just... everything's gone crazy.
Oh my god. And I was just like, okay. And he busts open there and he's just like, ah. And I was like, no, 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 no. Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I guess, that
yeah, maybe
worked.
Throwing the universal weapon wasn't the greatest of choices, but
it worked.
Yeah, it did.
I guess. But it just came back to Drax just not thinking. He's just like, I'm gonna do it. And I was like, but don't do, what?
Yeah.
And I love how he's like, I need to go back to go get it. And I'm like, no. What if it's gone? Like, what are you supposed to do? You're just gonna look around space to find it?
Yeah.
Like,
So, basically, the fight ends up with Korath having sort of ostensibly won because
he has
still
the map.
Yeah, he's still intact.
Yeah.
And Nebula's ship is pretty destroyed.
But she has...
It's taken some severe damage. She's taken some severe damage.
I mean, she fixed herself up, though. She looked like she was still in pain, but then she found the universal weapon. She's like, oh, perfect. I can finish Ronan's work. And I was just... And then, of course, Korath has a snapshot of the map.
Of the Crypto Cube.
And I was just like, well, crap.
Yep.
This is gonna be rough.
Yep.
And Gamora made that very, very clear.
Yeah. Well, exactly. That basically she's like, they know about the Crypto Cube and how, you know, Quill is needed to use it. And they kind of have a picture of it.
Literally a screenshot. And I was just like, oh, boy.
Yep. So, this now looks like it's probably going to be the pattern.
I mean, we were trying to figure out these past few episodes who was going to be. I mean, we knew who the actual main villain was,
right,
but we didn't know how.
Yeah, we know Thanos is kind of the big baddie, if you will.
The big baddie. And I like that.
Yeah.
But I love how now we kind of have like a path, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And some guidelines to be like, okay, this is exactly what's going to happen now. Took a while to get there.
It did. It did take a little while to get there. Anything else you want to touch on from this episode before we dive into some predictions?
Ooh.
All right, let's do some predictions, then.
I'm really excited for that.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV.
Predictions. I actually, I don't really have, a prediction. It's more just... I'm very excited to see how it goes. I also want to see more of Nebula Korath fighting between the three siblings. I think it'd be really, really cool. That's all I can really think of because I really don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I agree with you. But I think that this is sort of a good transition out of what we were just talking about with how they're now... it seems like we know what the formula is going to be.
Which I'm
because,
excited.
Because, you know, they were introducing all of these villains and they just kind of felt like one-offs and, you know, it was really disappointing how stuff went down with Titus, even though I know that, you know, in the comics, nobody was surprised because Titus is a bad guy, but I felt they could have played with that character more in this series.
I would have liked to see a couple more episodes with him.
Yeah, where we thought that he was super lawful good when in actual fact he was just
a big baddie.
Yeah, he was just a bad guy the whole time. But I think that now we've got a good formula in place where it's going to be the race to find the cosmic seed, and it's gonna involve the crew of the Milano, obviously the Guardians themselves,
of course,
and Korath because he has a snapshot of the map, and also Nebula because she's clearly on a mission to finish what Ronan started,
and that's why I think it's going to be really, really great to see just them trying to do this giant rat race to figure out, you know, the cosmic seed and everything like that. It's going to be so cool.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Well, because now we have these villains who have a past with the heroes and who we already care about in some capacity and have a little bit more of an understanding of. Because, again, you know, I think that this episode has done the best job so far of any of them of really establishing that feeling of a past connection
exactly
between Thanos's children.
I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
So. I'm really excited. That's like that's the most that I can think of. There's not much to really go off of because of the fact that any like we've said in past predictions that anything can go now. It's just now literally we have a setup.
Yeah, I just think now we have a really nice setup to have an episodic space adventure.
Yeah, and this is what I've been wanting since day one.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm
all right,
we're 7 episodes late, but it's okay.
Exactly. It's all good. It's coming back. Cree Summer bringing it with Nebula. She was awesome.
I want to see more Nebula. That's
I do too.
Another one that it's a want more than a prediction, but I would like to see more of that.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I was surprised by how happy I was to see Korath again.
Yeah, it, again, I think because of the fact that they were siblings, it just really brings the best out in
it
him.
It does. Yeah, it brings out a really nice character dynamic between all three of the characters.
It's gonna be good.
So yeah, now we've I think we've got a good setup to go to different planets and see all kinds of different things, and we'll see.
I just want to see the end result.
Yeah.
Maybe Quill's dad.
Hopefully, or at least his people.
Yeah, something.
Yeah.
Just some sort of history about Quill, because I think he's the last character besides Drax that we need more of.
Yeah, I totally agree. So, thanks for watching, guys. So, Alexis, where can people keep up with your antics on the internet if they want to do that?
That's a great thing. You can keep up with my shenanigans at aTorres890. I have not been vlogging for the past few weeks due to life and technology, because they don't listen to me. I'm like Drax with technology, I just don't get it. But you can follow me at aTorres890. I have a vlog that happens every week, and I'm going to be starting to do that again. I have my 100th vlog coming up soon, and I'm doing a Q&A, so you can use the hashtag AskATorres890. Emma.
Awesome. That's me, Emma Fife. It's my name. It's also my Twitter handle, EMMAFYFFE. If you're listening, that is all Fs as in Fred, no Ss as in snake. They tend to sound the same when you say them into a microphone or over the phone. And that's my Twitter handle. That's also where you can find me on Instagram. You can find me on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz TV. I tweet about all of them. So just follow me on Twitter, guys. It's a great place to be. Yeah, yeah, Alexis and I are both here all the time. We also tweet about all the stuff we do here. So Twitter, it's magical. be sure to check out all of these shows here at AfterBuzzTV.com. If there's a TV show that you like, we probably do an after show for it. You can also check out all the content on our sister networks, Black Hollywood Live, Popcorn Talk, and the Every Girl Network. Did I get that right?
No, you did.
Yes,
got it.
Nailed it.
Oh, and if you love books, Book Circle Online is also another channel that we do. So
that's
if you love books, you should look it up.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for watching, guys. We will be back here again same time next week. And in the meantime, remember, you can keep tweeting at us using that hashtag ABTVGOTG to keep the conversation going.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.